Holly and Jamie with the BBC Minute, your latest world news update.
More than 2,000 people have been arrested across Russia during demonstrations demanding the release of opposition leader Alexei Navalny. That's according to monitoring groups. One of those arrested is his wife, Yulia.
Police have restricted movement in Moscow, and there was a big standoff in St. Petersburg where over 1,000 protesters clapped their hands to imitate riot police banging their batons on their shields.
Let's have some coronavirus updates.
Dubai will be helping the United Nations distribute 2 billion vaccines to some of the world's poorest countries.
Israel is going to give Palestine 5,000 doses to protect frontline medical workers. Palestine hasn't yet started its vaccination program.
Germany is going to send medical staff and equipment to Portugal as the country's running out of space in intensive care units. It's after a surge in coronavirus infections.
BBC Minute.
And some football. Barcelona's women's team have beaten Real Madrid 4-1. Barcelona are top of the league after winning all 13 games they've played this season.
14:29
BBC Minute.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. A supermarket chain in the Southeast is issuing a statement after reports the founder's daughter had financed a Trump rally before the Capitol riot. The statement issued on Twitter yesterday said Publix heiress Julie Jenkins Fincelli doesn't work for or represent the company in any way, after an earlier Wall Street Journal report claiming Fincelli donated several $100,000 to cover costs to set up a rally featuring President Trump at the Ellipse Park south of the White House fence prior to the Capitol building breach. Groundhog Day comes up again this week. The annual forecast offered by Punxsutawney Phil is scheduled for this Tuesday, February 2nd at 7:25 a.m. Eastern Time in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. Around sunrise Tuesday, if Phil sees a shadow, it means there's 6 more weeks of winter. Otherwise, if Phil doesn't see a shadow, it will be an early spring bringing warmer conditions. Because of COVID-19, the prediction will be live streamed. You can follow along at visitpa.com. Lisa Taylor, NBC News Radio.
And now, with round-the-clock updates from Reuters journalists, here are today's top stories. This is Reuters Now.
There's a new federal mask mandate from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The CDC late Friday issued an order requiring masks be worn on modes of interstate travel, including airplanes and trains, at transit hubs, and on all forms of local mass transit and taxis. This goes into effect beginning Monday, February 1st at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time. The mask mandate also covers ride-sharing vehicles and subways. Not doing so will be a violation of federal law. The order does not apply to private cars or commercial trucks being driven by a sole operator. This mandate from the CDC follows an order from President Joe Biden directing agencies to, quote, immediately take action to require masks on transportation and at transit hubs. Officials in the U.S. are mulling additional measures to fight the spread of the coronavirus amid fears of the spread of a more contagious and potentially vaccine-resistant variant first identified in South Africa, which showed up in the U.S. this week. Even as more stadium-sized vaccination centers open up, like the one built in Boston's Fenway Park, America's vaccine rollout has been hampered by a lack of supply, something President Biden vowed to fix.
We will increase overall weekly vaccination distributions to states, tribes, and territories. So this is going to allow millions of more Americans to get vaccinated sooner than previously anticipated.
Masks and inoculation are just part of Biden's attempt to fight the pandemic. International travel has been a particular concern, with 2 other COVID-19 variants from the UK and Brazil spreading as well. This week, the United States implemented mandatory COVID-19 testing for nearly all arriving international passengers, but a coalition of U.S. travel-related business groups and unions have urged the Biden administration not to extend mandatory testing to domestic flights. In a letter sent to the president on Friday, they said imposing new COVID-19 testing requirements for travelers on domestic flights is, quote, unwarranted.
They are marching through now.
Disturbing, newly released body cam footage was played by prosecutors in a Michigan federal court, showing rioters attacking police during the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. The investigation into the siege continues as U.S. law enforcement agents found bomb-making instructions inside the home of a member of the Proud Boys right-wing extremist group who was charged in participating in the January 6th attack. Prosecutors said in a court filing that 43-year-old Dominique Pezzola had weapons and bomb-making manuals on a thumb drive device found within his home near Rochester, New York, arguing that he should be jailed pending trial. The Justice Department said Pezzola and another member of the Proud Boys, William Pepe, were indicted on charges including conspiracy, civil disorder, and unlawfully entering restricted buildings or grounds. Separately, the FBI said bombs found at the Capitol Hill headquarters of the Democratic and Republican National Committees were placed there the evening before the attack. The FBI increased a reward for information about the incident to up to $100,000. So far, more than 135 people have been arrested in connection with the rampage by supporters of former President Donald Trump that interrupted the formal congressional certification of President Joe Biden's election victory, forcing lawmakers to rush to safety. Five people died, including a Capitol police officer.
British police are searching for the vandal or vandals who painted a COVID-19 face mask on the figure of a mysterious giant in England. The Long Man of Wilmington is a 235-foot-high chalk outline of a figure holding a white stick in each hand carved into a hillside. It is protected by law as an ancient monument, though it has been targeted in the past. The figure's exact origins are disputed, but many archaeologists date it to the Anglo-Saxon or medieval periods. As of Saturday, the mask had been removed and police called the incident unacceptable.
You're up to date. Check back later as stories develop.
Welcome back to NHK Newsline. I'm Kaneko Sakno. Protests across Russia continue to flare. Demonstrators are calling for the release of opposition leader Alexei Navalny, and the government looks set to respond with force. Widespread rallies took place on Sunday. Hundreds are believed to have been detained. That comes after more than 4,000 people are believed to have been rounded up in the previous protest on January 23rd. In the far eastern city of Vladivostok, people headed toward the frozen sea after security forces detained protesters in the square. Navalny was arrested in mid-January as he returned to Moscow from Germany. He received medical treatment in Berlin after being poisoned with a suspected nerve agent. The protesters are not only calling for Navalny's release, but are making other demands as well. Frustration is building among young people over a range of grievances. These include a stagnant economy and the handling of the coronavirus pandemic.
Neither salaries nor social support from the government are enough. The government needs to be replaced so people can talk with their leaders.
Meanwhile, the Putin administration appears to be looking to bring the protest movement to an early end. That's as parliamentary elections are scheduled for September. Britain will start procedures to join the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, as it seeks closer trade ties with the Asia-Pacific region. British International Trade Secretary Elizabeth Truss will discuss the plan with counterparts from Japan and New Zealand on Monday, then make a formal request. Japan chairs the TPP, and New Zealand serves as the depository for its 11 members. Exactly 1 year after Britain left the European Union, it's looking for trade partners elsewhere. Britain signed an economic partnership agreement with Japan last October and has shown strong interest in joining the TPP. It will be the first country to apply for membership following the founding members. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson says the step demonstrates the country's ambition to do business on the best terms with its friends and partners all over the world. The Japanese government stands ready to support the process. After the formal request from Britain, Japan plans to hold a meeting as soon as possible with other TPP members. The British government is set to start allowing Hong Kong residents with British national overseas status to apply for a special visa. The British government announced plans to introduce a new visa system for BNO status holders last year. The announcement came after the Chinese government imposed the national security law for Hong Kong. The law is designed to crack down on anti-government and pro-democracy movements in the territory. Under the new system, a special visa will be issued to anyone who has BNO status and was born in Hong Kong before the 1997 handover to China. Family members of those individuals will also be eligible. Online applications will be available starting on Sunday. Holders of the new visa will be allowed to study and work in Britain. They'll be permitted to submit an application for permanent residency after 5 years in the country and then eventually apply for citizenship.
Hello, I'm Moira Alderson with the BBC News. Monitors in Russia say police have detained more than 2,000 demonstrators for demanding the release of the jailed opposition activist Alexei Navalny. Among them was his wife Yulia, who was picked up near the Moscow prison where Mr. Navalny has been held for 2 weeks. Some protesters brandished toilet brushes, a symbol of opposition, since one, reputed to have cost $600, was filmed inside a palace Mr. Navalny says Mr. Putin owns. Sarah Rainsford is in Moscow.
The protesters in Moscow have been trying to make their way towards the prison where Alexei Navalny is being held, but they've been stopped, most of them, by long rows of riot police. There's crowds here chanting, "Putin is a thief and freedom for Alexei Navalny." There have been extraordinary scenes all day as protesters who were barred from gathering in the square that was initially set aside for this protest then converge in different points all around the city. And they've been swarming through the streets here, playing cat and mouse, essentially, with the police.
The fugitive leader of Ethiopia's embattled Tigray region, Debretsion Gebremichael, has made his first public comments in more than 2 months. Will Ross reports.
In the audio recording posted on social media, the fugitive TPLF leader alleged widespread incidents of murder, rape, torture and intentional starvation during the war in the Tigray region. Debretsion Gebremichael called on Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed and the Eritrean President Isaias Afwerki to be tried at the International Criminal Court.
Israel has agreed to transfer thousands of coronavirus vaccines to the Palestinians amid controversy over whether it should include the occupied territories in its vaccination program. The Defense Ministry said 5,000 doses would be made available for Palestinian medical workers. The Israelis have been vaccinating their population very rapidly, but haven't included Palestinians living under occupation. Pope Francis has announced an annual day for Catholics to honour the contribution of grandparents and the elderly in general. He's set the date as the last Sunday in July. Francis, who is 84, has often called on society to cherish the elderly as a source of wisdom and experience. Hilton Valentine, the English guitarist who created one of the most famous riffs in popular music, has died aged 77. He helped found the 60s group The Animals. Their version of The House of the Rising Sun propelled the band to the top of the charts in Britain and the United States in 1964. Singer Eric Burdon said the song won't sound the same without Valentine. BBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. Two people are dead and a suspect is in custody after a SWAT standoff in Northern California. The incident began early Saturday when an armed suspect began live streaming himself with a weapon and two women lying motionless on the floor of an apartment in Vacaville, north of San Francisco. SWAT team members made their way inside and used a non-lethal device to subdue the suspect and arrest him. The two women were dead. The coronavirus vaccine was not the cause of death for the Placer County, California man who died over a week ago, the county sheriff's office said Saturday. Sheriff's investigators first reported that the vaccine was a potential cause of death of the 64-year-old healthcare worker who died on January 21st, just hours after getting the vaccine. The office later issued an apology on Facebook for the misleading information. A huge winter storm is covering much of the U.S. under a thick blanket of snow this weekend. The National Weather Service says the storm's causing hazardous travel conditions in the Midwest, Northeast, and Mid-Atlantic. Lisa Taylor, NBC News Radio.
Russian police have arrested more than 2,000 people during demonstrations across the country calling for the release of the detained opposition leader Alexei Navalny. Protesters shouted freedom and Putin is a thief. Mr. Navalny's wife Yulia was among those arrested in Moscow. Maria Litvinenko, the wife of the murdered dissident Alexander, said the protesters were calling for more than just the release of Mr. Navalny.
For a very long period of time, people were sure everything is fine and life in Russia as normal as in the Nazi countries. But suddenly they realize it's not true. And going for meeting today, they're doing this for themselves, for their children, for other people, to give them a message. Russia could be a democratic country.
The International Trade Secretary Liz Truss has said she's confident there won't be any disruption to the UK's supply of coronavirus vaccines after the EU withdrew its threat to impose checks on the Irish border. The UK has become embroiled in a row with Brussels about vaccine supplies. Dr. Susan Hopkins from Public Health England advises the government on its coronavirus strategy. She says the UK's vaccination programme is progressing well, but lockdown restrictions will have to be eased very slowly to avoid another surge in deaths.
The NHS is going to be under pressure until the end of March, as normal in winter, but even more so with the amount of inpatients they still have with COVID-19. Any releases that we have will have to happen very slowly, very cautiously, watching and waiting as we go, with a two-week period to watch and see the impact of that relaxation.
The Irish Prime Minister, Micheál Martin, has criticised the French president for remarks he made on Friday, downplaying the efficacy of the AstraZeneca vaccine in older people. Mr. Martin told the BBC that politicians should leave such matters to scientists and regulators. There are calls for football clubs and social media companies to do more to identify people who racially abuse footballers. Manchester United's Marcus Rashford is the latest to reveal he suffered abuse online, tweeting that he'd experienced humanity and social media at its worst. The football reporter, Vaishali Badwaj, said she'd experienced both racist and sexist abuse and called for more accountability from social media platforms.
You've got people who think this is going to be fun to go out there right now after a game and abuse someone and just say whatever I can say and there's going to be no repercussions. And I think the social media sites, I think they've got to come down tough on this. You know, I think a lot of people have been saying it. When you sign up for an account, you've got to put your ID in there.
It's been revealed that the surge in online shopping during the pandemic has led to a temporary shortage of cardboard packaging. Industry leaders say the usual Christmas demand hasn't gone away, and there's now a global paper shortage.
Hello, I'm Moira Alderson with the BBC News. Monitors in Russia say police have detained more than 2,000 demonstrators for demanding the release of the jailed opposition activist Alexei Navalny. Among them was his wife Yulia, who was picked up near the Moscow prison where Mr. Navalny has been held for 2 weeks. Some protesters brandished toilet brushes, a symbol of opposition, since one, reputed to have cost $600, was filmed inside a palace Mr. Navalny says Mr. Putin owns. Sarah Rainsford is in Moscow.
The protesters in Moscow have been trying to make their way towards the prison where Alexei Navalny is being held, but they've been stopped, most of them, by long rows of riot police. There's crowds here chanting, "Putin is a thief and freedom for Alexei Navalny." There have been extraordinary scenes all day as protesters who were barred from gathering in the square that was initially set aside for this protest then converge in different points all around the city. And they've been swarming through the streets here, playing cat and mouse, essentially, with the police.
The fugitive leader of Ethiopia's embattled Tigray region, Debretsion Gebremichael, has made his first public comments in more than 2 months. Will Ross reports.
In the audio recording posted on social media, the fugitive TPLF leader alleged widespread incidents of murder, rape, torture and intentional starvation during the war in the Tigray region. Debretsion Gebremichael called on Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed and the Eritrean President Isaias Afwerki to be tried at the International Criminal Court for genocide. A spokeswoman for Ethiopia's prime minister said the comments were aimed at covering up what she called horrendous crimes committed by the TPLF.
The city of Perth and much of the rest of the population of Western Australia has entered a five-day lockdown. It comes after a security guard working at a quarantine hotel tested positive for coronavirus. Perth hasn't had a case of locally acquired coronavirus for 10 months. Ireland's Prime Minister Micheál Martin says the acrimonious row between the EU Commission and the drug maker AstraZeneca, in his words, blindsided the Commission's judgment over its attempt to limit vaccine supplies to Northern Ireland. Mr. Martin told the BBC when he phoned its president to explain the situation, the decision was reversed.
It certainly wasn't an act of hostility by the European Commission. My experience throughout the Brexit debate has been an acute awareness on behalf of European Union member states and indeed the Commission about getting the Northern Ireland situation right and supporting the overall edifice of the Good Friday Agreement and making sure that we would negotiate structures and mechanisms like the protocol that would facilitate the continuation of the Good Friday Agreement and all of its aspects.
World news from the BBC. The Emirate of Dubai has announced plans to help the UN distribute 2 billion coronavirus vaccines to some of the poorest countries in the year ahead. It already has one of the world's largest centres specialising in aid distribution logistics. Alan Johnston reports.
Dubai presents itself as a global hub, a crossroads between Europe, Asia and Africa. It's heavily involved in air and sea transport around the world. Now it plans to combine all its cargo handling facilities and expertise and put them to work in the vast effort to vaccinate the world against the coronavirus.
Israel has agreed to transfer thousands of coronavirus vaccines to the Palestinians amid controversy over whether it should include the occupied territories in its vaccination program. The Defence Ministry said 5,000 doses would be made available for Palestinian medical workers. The Israelis have been vaccinating their population very rapidly, but haven't included Palestinians living under occupation. Pope Francis has announced an annual day for Catholics to honour the contribution of grandparents and the elderly in general. He set the date as the last Sunday in July. Francis, who is 84, has often called on society to cherish the elderly as a source of wisdom and experience. Hilton Valentine, the English guitarist who created one of the most famous riffs in popular music, has died aged 77. He helped found the 60s group The Animals. Their version of The House of the Rising Sun propelled the band to the top of the charts in Britain and the United States in 1964. Singer Eric Burdon said the song won't sound the same without Valentine. BBC News.